I come in the power of light. I come in the light of wisdom. I come in the mercy of light. The light hath healing in its wings.
Welcome to the Golden Dawn Podcast. Join us now as we enter the pathway of light.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Robert Zink. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and to the Golden Dawn. And we have an excellent show planned for you today. The show that we have is about initiation. And initiation is really the key to everything. So we're going to have a few guests on, and I think that you're going to find this quite interesting. We're also going to have some remarkable things happen today. And hopefully everybody is hanging on there. We've got a great show. We've got some actual excerpts that we will be sharing for you from Golden Dawn Initiation. So let's see if we have any of our guests on this afternoon. Hello. We're live right now on Blog Talk Radio, and we're talking about the Golden Dawn. And we're talking about specifically the process of initiation and what happens. So I have VH Fighter IL, and I want to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you.
And VH Fighter SR.
Hi.
And we have also VH Fighter AA, Jeff Randich from Temple of Ptah.
Good evening, Robert.
I'm excited about the process of initiation. Last week we talked about initiation. I want to read just kind of with the three of you, just briefly hear from each one of you. We'll start with you, Fighter AA. What is initiation and why do people on the pathway of light? We hear about so many people that are light workers or people that are interested in having a better relation with their higher self. Why is it to their benefit to go through the process of initiation, even if it's long distance or astral initiation, even if they can't come to a temple physically?
Well, initiation essentially is a form of invocation. It's a ceremony that's done in a spiritual, theatrical format. Everything in the initiation, every officer, every tool, every furnishing within the Hall of Truth is a reflection of something that's happening inside the candidate. So the initiation essentially is moving energies around within the sphere sensation of an individual in order to move them forward into a heightened sense of spiritual awareness and inner awareness of themselves.
Okay, how about you, Frederick I.L.? Give us your take on initiation and what it means. What did it mean to you 15 years ago when you went through initiation?
Well, it meant a real entry into a threshold. There's an old saying that initiation often happens before the initiation, during it, or not at all. And that, to me, validates the fact that absolutely all initiations have a main component that is astral. I was able to come to my physical with 11 other people, and I had very strong visions as I was walking through with the hoodwink on, and I had a very clear viewpoint of where I was going, and somewhat of an idea of what was going to happen. And I also felt subtle energies being moved within my body. And I believe that unless you have the proper God forms in place and you are moving those subtle energies, those parts of the subtle body, then the astral parts, then you really only have a ticket to a private play. An initiation has an astral component that must be there in order for it to be a real initiation.
Okay, and let's go to Fighter SR. Why don't you give us your take?
Well, McGregor Mathers once wrote that the point of the Neophyte initiation in particular, but all initiation, is to bring the candidate into alignment and contact with their higher genius or their holy guardian angel. And for anybody who is on this path, for anybody who is seeking spiritual light, the initiation is an opportunity for a new start, for a new birth, and then to bring them closer to this work and begin a new phase, guided not just by their own aspirations, but that of their higher genius as well.
I think that's the real key, is that you're going to be guided by your higher genius. And that's really important, is to have that attunement, to have that alignment, to be in connection, to have a doorway, a path to your higher self, your holy guardian angel, your higher genius. And that's why a lot of people will tell me, well, you know, I'm already doing spiritual work. I don't think I need initiation. And that's good, but initiation really cuts a hole in the membrane and allows that light, that influx of divine white brilliance, to come into your sphere of sensation with more vividness, more brightness, and more power. And it really doesn't make any difference. Let me just pause for a minute and we'll get on with it. I thought of something during the week when we were talking about astral initiation. I talked to somebody and he said, well, you have to have the officers right there. They have to be able to see everything. And I thought, you know, if you went to a room and you hired some professional actors from Hollywood, so you had Robert De Niro playing the Hierophant, and you had Al Pacino playing the Hierophant, and all of these different famous actors who are non-initiates but could do a phenomenal job at reading the lines physically in a room, would that be an initiation? And the answer is, of course not. The initiation must take place by a Hierophant and the Hierophant's officers in the Hall of Truth, in the Hall of the Neophyte. And they create these astral forms, these astral energies, and God forms that help empower the initiatory process. And that's what really takes place. And that for that to happen, it doesn't make any difference if you're in that hall or if you're 1,000 miles away. So I think that's very important. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close your mic just for a moment. We're going to listen to a little bit of the description of the officers. Then we'll come back and we'll talk about these officers and what they do in Golden Dawn initiation. So let's go ahead. Listen right now. This is a portion of a 0=0 neophyte initiation in the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn.
Honored Hieris, remind us of the chief officers.
There are 3 chief officers, the Hierophant, the Hieris, and the Hegemon.
Is there any peculiarity to these names?
They all commence with the letter H.
And of what is this letter a symbol of?
Of life. For the letter H is our mode of representing the ancient Greek aspirant, or breathing, and breath is the evidence of life.
How many lesser officers are there?
There are 3, the Keres, Sodestes, and the Dadaha. And in addition, the Sentinel. Armed with a lethal weapon, the Sentinel guards the temple, keeps out intruders, and prepares the candidate.
The Dadahos, your station and duties.
My station is in the south to symbolize heat and dryness. My duties are to see that the lamps and fires of the temple are ready at the opening, to watch over the censer and incense, and to consecrate the hall and those present with fire.
Stolices, your station and duties.
My station is in the north and symbolizes cold and moisture. My duties are to see that the robes, collars and insignias of the officers are ready at the opening, to watch over the cup of lustral waters, and to purify the hall and those present with water.
Carex, your station and duties.
My station is within the portal. My duties are to see that the furniture of the hall is properly arranged at the opening, to guard the inner side of the portal, to admit the fraters and sorors, to watch over the path of the candidates and to lead all mystical circumambulations and to make all announcements and declarations. My lamp is a symbol of hidden knowledge, and my wand is a symbol of directing power.
Honored Hegman, your station and duties.
My station is between the two pillars of Hermes and Solomon. My face is toward the cubicle altar of the universe. My duties are to watch over the gateway of hidden knowledge, for I am the reconciler between light and darkness. I immediately follow the Kerucs and the mystical circumambulations. I watch over the preparation of the candidate and assist in his reception. I lead the candidate onto the path that conducts from darkness to light. The white color of my robe is the color of purity. My ensign of office is a mitre-headed scepter to symbolize religion, which guides and regulates life. My office symbolizes those higher aspirations of the soul, which should guide its action.
Honored Hieris, your station and duties.
The Hieris now standing, holding the sword and the banner of the West.
My station is in the West, and it symbolizes the increase of darkness and the decrease of light, which encompasses us in the absence of the sun of life and light. I guard the gateway of the West and watch over the reception of the candidate and over the lesser officers at the execution of their duties. My robe is an image of the darkness that was upon the face of the waters. I carry the sword of judgment and the banner of evening twilight, which is the banner of the West. I am called Fortitude, and I am the master of darkness.
The Hierophant is now standing, holding the scepter of power and the banner of the East.
My station is on the throne in the East, which symbolizes the rise of the sun of life and light. My duty is to confer the grace of the outer order through the power of initiation in accordance with the decrees of the chiefs of the second order. The red color of my robe symbolizes light. My insignias of the office are the scepter of power and the banner of the East, which signifies power and light, mercy and wisdom. My office is that of the expounder of the mysteries.
Now, I want to point out that you cannot get that kind of energy, that kind of evocation and experience, either physically or in any other way through one of these programs where you put in your coins and you download some great material. It's just not going to do it for you. You need actual initiation. And every single person in the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn has been actually initiated, either by physical initiation, which is our preference, of course, at one of our authorized temples, or by astral initiation. But there has been an actual initiation, a full current that takes place. Now, that was just an outline of the officers. So we've brought our guests back on. And, Sutter, A.A., what does that make you feel when you hear that?
Oh, very excited. It's very powerful. Very powerful, right. I've had the opportunity to serve as Hierophant quite a few times, and also many of the other officer positions, and each one has its own unique energy, and so all that combined brings in a great influx of energy and power, and so whenever I hear it, especially in the form you just played, you know, all those memories and experiences come back. It's quite thrilling, quite a thrilling and unique experience.
Well, let's talk briefly about each officer. First, I want to remind our listeners that if they are interested in the process of initiation, either at one of our temples or through astral initiation, because, you know, a lot of times people will start out at getting astral initiated because it's more cost affordable that way. And then they'll, at some point, visit one of the temples and receive the physical initiation. But let's start with the Sentinel, which is often called the Phaelix. The Sentinel, the Guardian, the feminine form of the word And it means watcher outside the temple or an outside guard. This is usually Anubis of the West. How important, now some traditions hold that the sentinel was always a new neophyte, but how important is that particular position, Father Ayal?
Extremely important, because basically Anubis of the West is both represented at the door, and sometimes he's called a tiler in some traditions, and he's also represented within the candidate. Anubis of the West is representing a decision, both on the part of the higher genius and on the part of the candidate, on whether or not entry into the temple and beholding the Carex is actually going to occur.
Okay, let's move on to the Dadahe, and it means torchbearer. And it comes from the ancient rites of the Eleusinian Mysteries. Father Sr., tell us about this role. This is a role that everybody, usually as they are starting to get organized and settled in the Golden Dawn, they'll usually take on this role, the role of fire, or Stolistes, the role of water, as a beginning role. Tell us about these two roles.
Well, specifically with the Dadohos, as the torchbearer, the bringer of light, this is the office that really begins the purification, the consecration of the candidate, the washing clean of the impurities that you bring in, and the sacrifice of those things which are holding you back, and offering them as a purification towards the great work, making you into a holy vessel. If you look at them alchemically with the Dadohos, the fire which burns in his censer is that same fire of calcination which begins the black work and allows the matter and the candidate to be taken to a purified state so that it can be reborn into a higher and more rarefied, spiritualized body. And I think the entrance and the greeting by the Stolistes and the Dadohos is really the beginning of the initiation and the beginning of the new life of the candidate.
You really can't have one without the other.
No, definitely.
I mean, they both represent the 1 equals 10 grade. And in fact, temples that lack adepts, who don't have enough adepts present, can use people in a 1 equals 10 grade if necessary.
Right. In fact,
go ahead.
I said I was going to say I've actually heard them referred to as the wings of Isis. They're definitely necessary, and they're there to lift the soul into higher worlds.
Yeah, they are known as the wings of the hegemon, which is a definite aspect of that as well.
Let's move on now to the Carex. This person is moving throughout the entire initiation. The Carex means herald in Greek. This is the one who's announcing all of the order events and what's going on and what's taking place next. The Carex is also a watcher. He's a guardian as well, isn't he? He guards the inner side of the portal, doesn't he? Father A, tell me about the Carex. People want to know about this. This is Anubis of the East.
Right. The Carex is a watcher, and he's often referred to as the watcher of the gods or the watcher within. He's Anubis of the East, where the sentinel is Anubis of the West and the watcher without. Now, he guides the candidate through the entire initiation ceremony, and he leads the ceremony using his lamp. And that lamp is a symbol of hidden knowledge, so that everywhere the candidate moves throughout the initiation, throughout the temple, this symbol of hidden knowledge goes before the candidate. It's very significant. He also carries the caduceus of Hermes, which is the winged staff with the spiraling serpent.
I think the Carex looks very regal in the temple, and with that beautiful wand. And I've seen some temples just use a staff painted in three different colors, for the three mother letters, all of Men and Shin are the three primary elements. But when you have all of that symbolism of the lamp, and, you know, this is a real strong, I think this is an important thing. If you are finding a flyer for Esoteric Order of the Golden Dawn in a book, if you're listening to this show and you may have stumbled upon it, could it be, is it possible that that's the lamp of hidden knowledge that is going before you, guiding you into the pathway of initiation, guiding you into a greater sense of connection with divine light, guiding you into your own personal power and your ability to connect with angelic beings, your ability to heal at a higher level? All of these things, you know, people say, well, what do I gain by initiation? Every spiritual gift that is available, I believe, is magnified through the process of initiation. We'll move on to the Hegman now. And the Hegman is, in my view, one of the three greater officers, but in my view, probably the toughest job in the entire Hall of the Neophyte.
I know that.
Because doesn't the Hegman have to balance energy between hot and cold, between light and darkness, contrary energies that are coming in every direction?
All four of them.
That's an important task. What does that mean as part of the candidate's psyche, Kevin A?
Well, the hegemon stands between the two pillars and represents a place of balance between the passive and the active, between light and darkness. And essentially, the hegemon does all of the speaking for the candidate in the initiation and represents the voice of their higher self.
Anything you want to add, Fetter SR?
When candidates come in, I've often heard them a little surprised when they see the scepter of the hegemon, which in traditional Golden Dawn symbolism is the mitre, the funny pope hat. And a lot of people mistake that for thinking that it's a religious symbol, whereas if you look at the symbolism of the mitre, it represents the fires of the Holy Spirit descending, or the Ruach Elohim in the Kabbalah. And it's that aspect, I think, that's so important in the hegemon, representing the descent of the higher self and the awakening of the individual and their ego to that calling of their higher self, so that fire of the Spirit can descend and they can have that connection.
We're going to move on now to the area of the Hieris. In the Hieris, whereas the Hegman represents the 3 = 8 grade, the Hieris equals the 4 = 7 grade of philosophers. Now, before we move on directly to the Hieris, I want to point something out. There have, for some reason, I think this is a tragedy, because there is this whole notion that, and some people have recapitulated the grades. They recapitulated the God forms. They come up with different grades in the outer order, giving them different names and all that kind of stuff. And I understand where everybody wants to be original, but these were done for a reason. They really relate very deeply to the Eleusinian mystery and the ancient rites. And they relate to the various grades of the Golden Dawn, which are very, very important. Essentially, if you start changing God forms and you start changing grades, you don't have Golden Dawn anymore. You have something, but it's not, and I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not Golden Dawn, is it? So I move on to the Hieris. I had to say that at the Hieris point, because he carries a sword, and the Hieris means priest. The priest is a very important role in the temple. But the Hieris has other important duties. It's probably the most sought-after role in the temple. Everybody wants the role of Hieris. Frater A.A., tell me about the Hieris. Tell our listeners about the Hieris, how important this role is to the temple and to their sphere of sensation if they should be an astral candidate.
Well, the Hieris carries the banner of the West, and this is a direct reflection of the cross and triangle that's on the altar. The Hieris himself wears all black. And he represents both together life and light, but he's also there as a rescuer from the forces of darkness. And he gives some very dramatic speeches that have deep symbolism. And in some regard, he's talking to the lower nature of the aspirant and essentially putting the lower nature in its direct place. Not that that's a bad thing, not that its place is beneath anything, but it gets it in line to begin doing the great work.
I think it's also important that in the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn and in traditional Golden Dawn, the Hieros represents the god form of Horus. And in some groups, and we don't condemn them, but they're on their own path, have come up with a whole different set of god forms. Let me go a little further on this, Frater I.L. How important is that Hieros in keeping out evil or unwanted energy or lower vibrational energy from the sphere of sensation of the candidate who is now preparing, coming to that point where they're actually going to be initiated and receive that influx of light?
Oh, that's critical. Absolutely critical. Because not only, first of all, the Hieros determines whether someone is actually able to be a candidate or not once they've come into the temple. But once the candidate has knelt at the altar and has taken the hand of the Hierophant and placed his other hand on the sacred symbol, and then he has let go of the material, completely given himself over to his higher genius and the trust of the officers within that hall, and there's a lot of light transfer taking place. And at this point, the Hieros is holding the sword at the back of the neck of the candidate to protect the candidate from dark forces that would enter in through there. And I think many, many traditions will tell you that that is the traditional place that darkness enters into the human psyche and into the whole sphere of sensation of the human being. So the Hieros is there to make sure that the candidate is 100% safe during the entire process.
Frater SR, do you have something to add on the Hieros?
Exactly what both Frater AA and Frater IL have said. It's interesting to remember, as you said, that the Hieros in Greek means priest. And in our modern life, we tend to think of the priest as the person standing there chanting the prayers and reaching to God, which is true. But in the ancient times, their primary office was that of sacrifice. They were the people who brought the animal and use their sword to cut their neck to sacrifice the animal to the higher. And in that sacrifice of the lower self, as Frater A was saying, and the negative forces, as Frater I.O. was saying, the Hieros accomplishes their job by freeing the candidate from those things which are holding them back and sacrifices those on the holy altar of initiation.
Let me say one other thing about the Hieros before we move on. The Hieros says these important words to the candidate. And I think in our world today, these words, they couldn't be more important for every single person who is a spiritual being on the pathway of light. Be without fear. You know, we have so many fears in our life. We have fears of our spiritual development. We have fears, that we're going to live up to our full potential. We have fears about the economy. We have fears about all of these things. And I know, I don't think anybody has ever gone through the process of initiation without having some small inkling of fear about being an initiate of the Golden Dawn. But the Hieros reminds them that this fear is their greatest enemy. This is the one thing that will defeat them over anything else. Be without fear. So all of these wonderful benefits of light, empowerments, enrichments are available to the candidate as they enter the Golden Dawn and as they learn to be without fear and as they eventually next Hierophant, and they start to develop this sense of confidence and power and light through the process of the Hierophant. We're going to get on to the Hierophant, the greatest of the chief officers, the ruler of the hall, in a moment. But first, we're going to, and I'm not going to close the mic, so I'm just going to ask you not to breathe in your mouthpiece and be very quiet for a moment. We're going to play another section right now from the Hall of the Neophytes. So let's listen to this, okay?
Three major officers touch their tools, once again forming a pyramid over the candidate's head. The Carex removes the hoodwink as the word light is uttered. All officers.
Light!
Inheritor of a dying world, we call thee to the living beauty.
Wander in a wild darkness, we call thee to the gentle light.
Long hast thou dwelt in darkness. Quit the night and seek the day.
We receive thee into the esoteric order of the golden dawn.
Cobbs!
Om!
Tech!
Kong!
Om! Puck! Light! In!
Extension!
Wow. That's all I have to say. That's where it happens. At that point, those three officers come together and they form that triangle which creates a vortex, kind of a ray of light rushing down in one ray into the candidate. And it all happens when the Hierophant leaves his throne and proceeds to the altar where the candidate is at. Then joins the other two officers, the Hegemon and the Hierus. Of course, the title of Hierophant comes from Greek, and it means he who shows sacred things, or is an initiating priest, a priest that not only sacrifices, but a priest that initiates every single person in the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn. Has been initiated. There is nobody in our order that just received a packet of information or was able to throw some coins in the slot machine, pull the lever, receive some grade material, and start studying. They received that powerful influx of light. And that's important because that means something. How important is that better AA, and how important is that Hierophant?
I think the question seems so obvious. I don't see how you can move into a path of initiation without the proper formula of initiation. And Hierophant, you know, who sits in the east of the temple and represents the expounder of the mysteries, he is there to govern all the associated energies and see to it that the formula of light is put together and properly initiated into the candidate.
I think that there's nobody that I know of that has been a Hierophant for more 6 months, 6 month terms. That's how long a Hierophant usually holds the office in the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn. And you, Fred Ayel, so please tell us about, you might be the all-time record holder.
For the whole Golden Dawn egregore, I really didn't want to admit that publicly. What's your question in regard to that?
Well, I want you to just give us the culmination of your 15 years or more of experience in regards to the Hierophant.
Well, I will tell you something. My feeling, well, the Hierophant in one respect is considered the high officer in the hall. He is also the servant of the hall. In my opinion, the hall truly belongs to the Hierus. The Hierus is the one who takes care of ensuring that everything's in place, ensuring that the Hierophant is properly saluted at the throne, and all the things that need to happen. The Hierophant, on the other hand, is the vessel of the initiating light. He brings forth the breath when we talk about the three major officers, and we go through that process where he does the sign of the enterer into the hall, and all of that presence of the breath rolling through the hall, the breath of spirit, the Ruach Elohim, I think they can even call it, has to be reaffirmed before he can do the sign of silence and seal it. So first of all, he's preparing the hall. Secondly, he is preparing that breath of life to go into the candidate for his new rebirth, his rebirth into a newer day. And the responsibility of the other officers is to support that process and ensure that the candidate is safe in that process and to give a balanced place for the candidate to be. But the Hierophant is the person who comes in the power of light and comes in the wisdom of light and in the mercy of light and brings healing to the candidate.
We have a few minutes left, so let's talk about the power in these God forms that are assumed by these officers. Frater AA, the Hierophant assumes a God form. Let's talk about the power of that God form. Fill us in.
The Hierophant assumes the God form of Osiris. And Osiris typically never leaves the throne. In fact, when the Hierophant leaves the throne, he's taking on another God form, Aurorus. But specifically, Osiris is the predominant god form that he's taken on. And if you're familiar with the invocation of Osiris, it starts out, "For Osiris Onnophorus, who is found perfect before the gods have said, these are the elements of my body." And it goes on. I don't want to give away the whole invocation.
Absolutely.
Because it's esoteric. But he says, "I am Osiris triumphant. Even Osiris Onnophorus, the justified one, I am he who is clothed in a body of flesh, yet in whom is the spirit of the great gods." That's a very powerful invocation for a very powerful god form to represent the chief officer in the temple.
And it's very true that the spirit must be brought down to a level that it can be associated to the candidate.
Well, then, Frater Ayel, how does that work with the Hieris who takes on the god form of Horus?
Well, the god form of Horus is essentially there to protect the candidate and to protect the hall and to ensure that there's a good place for that spirit to come down. Now, in the body of Osiris, you're actually bringing forth that influx of light into the four elements, into a living aspect that the candidate can immediately grasp and take on.
And Frater S.R., the Hegemon, these are the three chief officers. How does the Hegemon, of course, have to interact between the Hierophant and the Hieris on behalf of the candidate?
Well, the Hierophant, as they were saying, represents the influx of light, and the Hieris protects the hall from any aspects of darkness. But it's the Hegemon who stands between them as the balancing force, and as Frater A.A. said, also representing the higher self of the candidate. If you look at it as your higher self standing between that which is above, your higher genius, the divine, coming down, the Hegemon stands there as the balancing and reconciling force that allows that light to enter into you as a vessel in a safe, balanced, and protected way that you can begin to integrate into yourself as you begin to walk the path of the initiation.
These three officers, the two chief officers, are absolutely incredible in the amount of power that they are able to invoke. And when they bring that light rushing in a single ray into the candidate, the whole candidate's sphere of sensation is changed. And as I pointed out earlier, it doesn't make any difference how long you've been reading books or studying or going to workshops. There's something new that takes place. There's just no denying it. Something new. Well, we have about 14 minutes. If you're interested in initiation, please visit www.esotericgoldendawn.com. That's www.esotericgoldendawn.com. Or you can call 888-681-8962, and we will put you in touch with a local temple. If you live near a local temple and you can drive there and get there and get into an initiatory process. And if you can't, we will provide you a complete Golden Dawn initiation with all the officers and all the energy, and we will transfer that initiation astrally to you, and you will have the same energy as if you were there. The only thing that will be lacking is the movie, the psychodrama that takes place. And we're not denying that that is important. It is. But because these officers wear beautiful robes and regalia, and they're absolutely well-trained and so forth. But we have some, if you have any questions, we have about 13 minutes left. Is there any comments any of you would like to make in regards to the initiation and any of the officers?
Well, I'd like to make a comment at, you know, the Golden Dawn specifically was founded by Matters. He was interested that all sexes and all races and creeds could join. And so as we have each of these officers, they can be either filled by the role of a male or a female, and there are specific feminine names that go with each of those officers. But I think it's important to mention that the order is open to men and women alike, no matter what your religious backgrounds are, and that, you know, you have just as much equal right and ability and opportunity to serve and experience some of these higher officer positions, no matter what your sex.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I want to point something out, that with the exception of maybe one temple, there was, I think, one particular period where every temple in the order had a hierophantria that was in charge of the hall of the neophyte of that particular temple and running that temple. And it is an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility. So every office in the Golden Dawn is open to both sexes. And I do want to point out, not next week on Tuesday, but the week after that, we have a special show called Modern Women of the Golden Dawn. And we're going to have a variety of women from seasoned adepts in our order to perhaps some neophytes or zealoters. And they're going to come on and share their experience as to what it is like to be a woman in the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn, and how they function and the jobs they do and their responsibilities and that kind of thing, and how the energy has affected their life and empowered them, not only in their spiritual life, but in their working life as well. Somebody had a comment to make. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to make another comment. I also wanted to say that in a couple of weeks we're going to be having equinox ceremonies, and in the Golden Dawn tradition, there'll be a changing of the officers, so those who are initiates are going to get a unique experience of not only experiencing the equinox, but seeing these officers as they're initiated into their particular office. It's a very emotional event, so it's something not to be missed.
I'd like to throw something in on that I believe actually very well dovetails into the idea that the Golden Dawn admits both sexes equally in all aspects of officer roles and everything. Its equinox literally represents equality. That is the one day every 6 months that we have equal darkness and equal light. We have equal receptivity, equal projectivity. So masculine and feminine are virtually equal and meet in the middle. And if you look at Kabbalistic doctrine, that is exactly what every single sephira in the tree has to do in order for the universe to continue function. So there is a very, very deep mystery involved with the admission of both sexes into the order, at least in my opinion.
I think that's extremely important. That was one of the key points. That was one of the sticking points in the formation of the Golden Dawn in 1888. When William Westcott approached S.L. MacGregor Matters about getting involved in the Golden Dawn, and Matters refused to get involved in the Golden Dawn unless women were allowed on equal footing with men, that there was no discrimination whatsoever. And in fact, the Grand Temple for quite some time was run by Florence Farr, a woman who was the imperator of that particular temple. Well, in lack of any specific questions, we have about 8 minutes left. Do we have any specific comments? Do we want to go through some of the different names? How about Hierophant? What is that for the feminine?
I think that's called Hierophantria.
Okay, good. And the Hieros?
That's the Hieria.
Okay, and then, of course, we have the Hegemon.
And the Hegemon is an inherently feminine-oriented role, if you consider that. I think that was one of, for the people that haven't gotten past the Rigardi books and into initiation, there was a question actually posed in the original Golden Dawn by Israel Rigardi of why is it a good thing sometimes for the female to hold the hegemon role.
Good. Well, that is a feminine role. All of these officers have feminine natures based on the god form. Okay.
Right, They're all a lot of aspects of Isis.
Right. So, and of course we have 65 astral god forms, some of them inhabited by physical officers in the temple, some of them are invisible, but we have a lot of god forms and energy, ancient energy, that's important, ancient energy in the hall of the neophyte that is being transferred to the candidate. Somebody asked, perhaps one of you have an answer for this, what is the significance of the four consecrations of the candidate? AA, you want to take a stab at that one?
Well, there's a lot of symbolism in each and every aspect. There are four consecrations. There are four letters in the divine name of God, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Each time the candidate enters into a particular station, they are purified and consecrated before approaching that station. Some relate the four consecrations to each of the four sons of Horus as they come into play in gathering up the body of Osiris and making it whole again. Some people attribute it to the cracking of the alembic, that the alembic of the candidate is broken four times, and each time that it's broken and separated, there's a purification and a consecration, and then they come together at the end of the ceremony to participate in what's known as the mystic repast, where the four parts are conjoined again, and they're purified in holy form, and then the invocation of Osiris is recited for the candidate, symbolically.
I would also throw out that that alchemically, as you move into the next grades of the Order of the Golden Dawn, you move through the four elements which are related to the letters of Tetragrammaton, and that each of the consecrations can also be seen as a purification of each element, preparing for the fifth element, the quintessence spirit, to descend, which, when we get into the invocation of Osiris, as Frater A.A. said, it begins for Osiris to sound perfect before the gods, and it's good to remember that Osiris started out as a human. And it was through the purification of his sacrifice that the fifth element was able to descend. His pentagram was purified, and he was able to become the Philosopher's Stone and to become a god among the immortals.
This is a very good point you're bringing up, because what you're really talking about is that the candidate, as they go through the grades of the Golden Dawn, is going through a very specific and organized alchemical process. And when you start changing grades, adding grades, subtracting grades, changing god forms, you kind of throw that whole alchemical balance off, don't you?
Definitely.
Well, here's a tough one. Are you ready for this? Why is the black rope wrapped three times around the candidate's waist?
It's how you are actually bound by Aleph, Mem, and Shin instead of freed by it as the natural man. Or natural person. Somebody else might want to add to that.
As that rope is being released, symbolically, you're being freed from the material inclination only. You're still going to have that as a human being, but now you're being freed from it so that it doesn't own you. Okay? Somebody add to that.
Well, I can only add my own experience. when that rope, when the Hierophant gives the command to the Hegemon to release the black cord, the final symbol of darkness, that both physically and spiritually, actually, you can feel that weight drop down to beneath your feet. So,
I think we need to add one other thing that's important. There is a part, we weren't going to get into this, but I think we have 2 minutes, we might be able to touch upon it. We apologize for not being able to go into greater depth. There's a part in the Neophyte initiation of the Golden Dawn where it's explained to the candidate that in all things, there are two contending forces and a third that unites those contending forces. That's why you see the symbolism of the Golden Dawn is the triangle, the cross and the triangle, the unfolding of light and the triangle, meaning two contending forces, a third that reconciles. And even in the area of darkness or the lower inclination, there are two contending forces and a third that reconciles it, or three aspects to what we call the evil persona. Anything you want to add? Somebody just put, the Neophyte initiation changed my life. Well, you know, I think there's a lot we could add, and we're all worried about how much we can talk about on this podcast without confusing people. But I want to thank my guests, Feder SR, I want to thank Feder AA, and Feder IL for being present this afternoon. We're out of time. We're down to less than 60 seconds, and we will be back next week. We're hopefully going to have a 90-minute show. We're going to talk about the state of the Golden Dawn in Europe, and then 1 hour of discussion of the Kabbalah and the Golden Dawn next week here on Blog Talk Radio, the Golden Dawn. So tell your friends about it if you're interested in the Golden Dawn. We'll have a dynamite show next weekend. Thank you very much for joining. My name is Robert Zenk. Look forward to seeing you next week, Tuesday, on Blog Talk Radio.